Chapter 6. I'd learned something in several years of professional wizarding. Never walk into a fight when the bad guys are the ones who set it up. Wizards can call down lightning from the heavens, rip apart the earth beneath their enemies' feet, blow them into a neighboring time zone with gale winds, and a million other things even less pleasant. But not if we don't plan things out in advance. And we're not all that much tougher than regular folks. I mean, if some nasty creature tears my head off my shoulders, I'll die. I might be able to lay out some serious magical pounding when I need to, but I'd made the mistake of tangling with a few things that had prepared to go up against me, and it hadn't been pretty. This bear thing, whatever the hell it was, had followed me. Hence, it had probably picked its time and place. I could have stood and blasted away at it, but in the close quarters of the alley, if it was able to shrug off my blasts, it would tear me apart before I could try Plan B. So I ran. One other thing I'd learned. Wheezy wizards aren't all that good at running. That's why I'd been practicing. I took off at a dead sprint and fairly flew down the alley, my duster flapping behind me. The bear thing snarled as it came after me, and I could hear it slowly gaining ground. The mouth of the alley loomed into sight, and I ran as hard as I could for it. Once I was in the open with room to dodge and put obstacles between me and the creature, I might be able to take a shot at it. The creature evidently realized that because it let out a vicious, spitting growl and then leapt. I heard it gather itself for the leap and turn my head enough to see it out of the corner of my eye. It flew at my back. I threw myself down, sliding and rolling over the asphalt. The creature soared over me to land at the mouth of the alley a good 20 feet ahead. I skidded to a stop and went running back down the alley, a growing sense of fear and desperation giving my feet a set of chicken yellow wings. I ran for maybe 10 seconds, gritting my teeth as the creature took up the pursuit again. I couldn't keep up a full sprint forever. Unless I thought of something else, I was going to have to turn and take my chances. I all but flattened the tall young black man I'd seen earlier when I leapt over a moldering pile of cardboard boxes. He let out a startled noise, and I answered it with a low curse. "Come on," I said, grabbing his arm. "Move! Move! Move!" He looked past me, and his eyes widened. I looked back and saw the four glowing eyes of the bear creature coming at us. I hauled him into motion, and he picked up speed and started running with me. We ran for a few seconds more before the little old derelict I'd seen earlier came limping along on his cane. He looked up, and the dim light from the distant street glinted on a pair of spectacles. "Ugh!" I shouted. I shoved my running partner past me toward the old man and snarled, "Get him out of here! Both of you, run!" I whirled to face the bear creature and swept my blasting rod to point right at it. I ran some force of will down into the energy channels in the rod, and with a snarled, "Fuego!" sent a lance of raw fire whipping through the air. The blast slammed into the bear creature's chest, and it hunched its shoulders, turning its head to one side. Its forward charge faltered, and it slid to a stop, crashing against a weathered old metal trash can. "What do you know?" I muttered. "It worked." I stepped forward and unleashed another blast at the creature, hoping to either melt it to bits or drive it away. The bear thing snarled and turned a hateful, murderous gaze at me with its four eyes. The soul gaze began almost instantly. When a wizard looks into someone's eyes, he sees more than just what color they are. Eyes are windows to the soul. When I make eye contact for too long or too intently, I get to peek in through the windows. You can't hide what you are from a wizard's soul gaze, and he can't hide from you. You both see each other for what you are within, and it's with a clarity so intense that it burns itself into your head. Looking on someone's soul is something you never forget, no matter how badly you might want to. I felt a whirling, gyrating sensation and fell forward into the bear thing's eyes. The glowing sigil on its forehead became a blaze of silver light the size of a stadium scoreboard set against a roundish cliffside of dark green and black marble. I expected to see something hideous, but I guess you can't judge a monster by the slime on its scales. What I saw, instead, was a man of lean middle years dressed in rags. His hair was long and straight, wispy gray that fell down to his chest. He stood in a posture of agony, his wiry body stretched out in an arch, with his hands held up and apart, his legs stretched out. I followed the lines of his arms back and up and saw why he stood that way. He'd been crucified. The man's back rested against the cliff, the great glowing sigil stretching out above him. His arms were pulled back in an agonizing angle and were sunk to the elbow in the green-black marble of the cliff. His knees were bent, his feet sunk into the stone as well. He hung there, the pressure of all his weight on his shoulders and legs. It must have been agonizing. The crucified man laughed at me, his eyes glowing a shade of sickly green, and screamed,
"As if it will help you! Nothing! You're nothing!"
Pain laced his voice, making it shrill. Agony contorted the lines of his body, veins standing out sharply against straining muscle. "Stars and stones," I whispered. Creatures like this bear thing did not have souls to gaze upon. That meant that regardless of appearances to the contrary, this thing was immortal. He was a human being. "What the hell is this?"